From developer to principal architect, my journey. I didn't plan to become an architect. I started as a developer because I liked building things and seeing them work. Code was concrete. You wrote it, deployed it, and either it failed loudly or did what it was supposed to do. What changed over time wasn't ambition. It was exposure to reality. I kept running into problems that had nothing to do with code quality and everything to do with systems, organizations, and decisions made years earlier. Eventually, I realized that the hardest problems weren't solved in IDEs. Early on, I was convinced most issues were technical. Performance problems meant bad queries. Outages meant bugs. Security gaps meant missing validation. Then I hit my first large enterprise environment. The system was technically working, but every change took weeks. Deployments were blocked by approval chains no one fully understood. Infrastructure was manually tweaked in production because that's how it's always been done. When something broke, nobody knew who owned it. The code was fine. The system wasn't. That was the moment I started caring about things developers usually try to ignore. Network topology, identity boundaries, release governance, and why the same cloud subscription could host workloads with completely different risk profiles. The turning point is rarely a new framework. It's realizing the real problems live in systems, ownership, and constraints. Once you work in environments with thousands of resources and multiple regulatory frameworks, intuition stops being reliable. I've seen teams adopt cloud platforms faster than their operating models could evolve. Resources were deployed correctly from a technical standpoint, but without consistent naming, tagging, or policy enforcement. 6 months later, nobody could answer basic questions about cost allocation or data residency. At larger scale, the constraints get sharper. Multi-region deployments, strict separation of duties, security reviews that don't care how elegant your solution is if it can't be audited. That's where the developer mindset starts to crack. As a developer, you optimize for speed and correctness. As an architect, you optimize for survivability under organizational pressure. One of the biggest misconceptions I still see is that architecture is about choosing the best technology. In practice, it's about understanding which options are off the table before you even start. In EU enterprise and public sector projects, GDPR alone can rule out entire classes of managed services depending on data flow and telemetry behavior. NIS2 adds operational and reporting constraints that change how you design monitoring and incident response. Procurement frameworks dictate which SKUs you're even allowed to use. I've had cases where a technically superior service was rejected because it didn't support customer-managed keys in a specific region at the time. End of discussion. Good architecture isn't creative freedom, it's disciplined trade-off management. The real transition happened when my work became less about implementing and more about deciding what not to implement. Do we allow PaaS in this subscription, or does it break the shared responsibility model security has signed off on? Do we centralize networking, knowing it will slow teams down, or accept duplicated networks to keep delivery moving? Do we standardize on native tooling, or choose something more portable because we need cross-cloud parity and stronger state controls? These decisions have long half-lives. As a developer, you can refactor. As an architect, you inherit. The hardest part of becoming a principal architect wasn't learning new technologies. It was unlearning habits that worked earlier in my career. Being the smartest person in the room stops helping at scale. Clarity beats cleverness every time. A boring architecture that everyone understands will outperform an elegant one that only its author can operate. I also had to accept that right solutions still fail when they collide with organizational reality. Teams resist change. Security teams say no by default. Finance wants predictability, not innovation. You don't fight that, you design for it. A principal architect isn't a senior developer with better diagrams. The role sits at the intersection of technology, governance, and human behavior. Most of my time now is spent translating, turning regulatory language into technical guardrails, turning business risk into architecture boundaries, turning engineering concerns into something leadership can actually decide on. The output isn't code, it's alignment. When it works, delivery accelerates without chaos. When it doesn't, everything slows down quietly until someone calls it technical debt. If I could give my earlier self one piece of advice, it would be this. Pay attention to the systems around your code as early as possible. Understand why things are deployed the way they are. Ask who owns what. learn how identity, networking, and cost management actually work in production. Read incident reports, not blog posts. The jump from developer to architect isn't a promotion. It's a change in responsibility. You stop being measured by what you build and start being measured by what continues to work long after you've moved on. If this perspective resonates with you, you'll find more articles like this across the site covering architecture, governance, and operating models shaped by real enterprise constraints. And if you're navigating similar challenges in your own organization, you can book a consultation directly from the site. Sometimes a focused conversation is all it takes to unblock months of uncertainty. Thanks for listening.